the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too. Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
This is not another story. This is not another drill. I refuse to be another number now. Never staying down. This is something real.
I don't think in his entire life Russ has ever refused numbers. Russ loves himself some numbers if he's got the option. So, going to be a quick one today. Unfortunately, the host of this show just didn't have his act together today. Everybody else ready to go, doing good things. And then there's me. So, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. Bring him in real quick. Statman Russ Ivanek. Rusty, how we doing today?
I'm doing all right. Give yourself a little more credit. Not like you fell asleep. Life happens.
And Sergeant Salty, Justin Marcus, saying it before the show, Justin is the first of us. He now is officially doing, I mean, he has been for the last 5 years, but now he's officially doing dad things. His daughter starts kindergarten tomorrow. First day of kindergarten. I don't know who's behind you because your bald head's in the way, but Justin Marcus, you are officially a grown-up now, if you weren't already.
Yeah, number one, echoing what Russ said, you good, buddy. Don't worry about it. We all have days. You're good. You're here. Take a breath. Let's settle in. Let's rock it. Number two, yeah, my kid goes to school tomorrow. What the shit?
Yeah.
So, of course, like, that happens in the year 2020, that my child is a student. She's a Laker. She's a dragon as of tomorrow.
She's a Laker. Oh, okay. All right. I like it. All right.
She's
well, yeah, I still remember going to the hospital day she was born, crazy times. I mean, she was this big, which in Justin Marcus perspective means she only has to grow about another 6 or 7 inches to reach full height potential. But still, she's growing up fast. I mean, it's insane to see. Making a horrible segue over, because unfortunately last week I asked you guys a question following the Seahawks cutting a defensive back for trying to sneak a girl into his room. I asked you, is this the dumbest thing we've seen by a person in 2020? And obviously it isn't. And obviously what I'm about to bring up isn't. But I put the argument out there that last week's person could win a Nobel Prize compared to what happened this past week. Literally happened the day we wrapped our last show. Cincinnati Reds play-by-play announcer Tom Brenneman used a no-no word when he didn't realize the mic was on. It's a no-no word. I see Russ mouth. It's a no-no word.
Yes. It is, in fact, a no-no word. There is a much meaner term for that as, you know, a discriminatory practice. But, yes, also a no-no word.
I mean, I could say what it is. He used a shameful, disgusting word no one should ever use in any context. It doesn't matter. Now, I want to play something for both of you, and I want, because I don't know if either of you have heard it yet. This is his apology in full. And if you ask me, I don't hear the apology. So I want to play this for you guys, and you give me your opinions.
Castellanos to lead things off. Jim Day's going to be taking us the rest of the way through this game. As Holland takes over on the mound. I made a comment earlier tonight that went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am, and never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that that could back that up. I am very, very sorry, and I beg for your forgiveness. Jim Day will take you the rest of the way home.
No, I'm not 6'6". That's not who I am. That's not who I've ever been. You said this, whether the mic was on or not, you said this. I understand people say things in the heat of the moment, but guess what? You were sitting in a booth 20 minutes before a baseball game. Not a lot of heat of the moment there. The thing that got me, and Jay, I'm going to go right to you. It was just the cavalier. I consider myself a man of faith. I consider myself that's a pop fly out to left field. Going to be a home run. It's just that there was no inflection change. He just smoothly went through it, almost like, let me keep saying what I need to say. Let me keep saying what I need. Oh, Nick Castellanos did something. Let me keep saying what I need to say.
It was a joke. It was an absolute joke. First of all, when he was talking, saying that I guessed I said something wrong and I think or I might have offended. No, you did. And then you did. You did offend people and you did say something. The only other note I have on this is that true to form, the Tigers are always a footnote of moments because it's Castellanos. It has to be our ex-player that we gave up that could have been doing great things here. But nevertheless, like you can't rob a bank and then walk back in 5 minutes later and say you're sorry for taking all the money that they had.
Yeah,
you can't do something so terrible and then go, hey, I think I did something wrong and I'm sorry about that. Like, that's how life works, pal. Go away, Tom, with a weird spelling name. I don't like you.
Yeah. And meanwhile, our stat man is over there just picking away at the beard, which means, come to me, come to me. I have things to say. So, Russ, we talked about it the other night when we were all together. We talked about it the day after it happened. That we said it during the week. This is the one downside to doing a show once a week. You've got to pick the things and know that there might be a little stale when you get to them, but you still have to talk about them. And this is something you have to talk about because I want to ask you, as a baseball fan, they suspend him for, I don't know what they're going to do, but they suspend him for the rest of the year. If Tom Brenneman's in the booth again next year for the Cincinnati Reds, what does that say about the Cincinnati Reds in some context?
It means that anything they say as far as inclusion or social justice or really anything is just hot air. Mm-hmm. And they don't actually care. And they're they're completely disingenuous with everything. If they bring this man back. I will say the one nice thing about letting it marinate a little before talking is it made me realize, well, he spells his name weird because the extra H in Tom that he has is for hate. And that's the kind of person that he is. Like, get off this whole, that's not the kind of person I am. Look, I can't throw a rock at someone unless I have a rock in my hand. Like, you don't just toss that slur out like, oops, oh, I didn't know I could say that word. Like, no, it was in you. And also the, I can't tell you how sorry I am, to the point Jay made. No, apparently you can't, because you got to qualify it with all these ifs and weasel words and things like this. And cut to a play halfway in the complete Joe Buckian no change in inflection. It's, no.
Yeah, no.
Bye. He can't be the voice of a sport. No.
I get it, and to me, as I listened to it, it really did sound, it was a Ron Burgundy kind of thing. They put it in front of him, he read what was in front of him, because someone somewhere said, this is going to sound the best. We don't need you to go into, like, don't go far one way and be like, I'm super supportive of this and this. Just say, I never meant to say it, I would never talk like that, even though I clearly would be, you know, and it was that, and the problem was, someone up there put up, Castellanos hit a home run, so it was like that. He had to go to it. He had to say it. And then they got him. They're like, nope, Tom, right back here. Right back here. Start going. I mean, as we all know, T-H-O-M is how he spells his name. That's totally hating on mankind, in my opinion. But
look at you.
Yeah. Not just a voice for radio, people. Not just a voice for radio. No, this is a terrible, terrible thing. And I'm going to put it up there. Again, we've had a lot of bad things. He beats the Seattle defensive back. Do we have a candidate for dumbest of 2020 right now? Jay's nodding yes.
Mike Milbury's still a thing.
Milbury's still a thing.
Ooh,
yeah.
He went on a run, too. He said multiple dumb shit.
Yep.
Yeah, he had like three things in 4 days. It was super, super bad. I can't defend how he still had the job.
Yeah.
But I still think that he was doing it on purpose so he didn't have to sit in a control booth in some random remote city. Even though what he said was wrong, it wasn't like a one-fer. Like, I think he sabotaged himself he's actually smart because he wanted to get back to what he actually wanted to do.
And you know what? I wouldn't put it past him, but that really shows you what a complete degenerate he is that he would decide, you know what will send me home? I'll make fun of all women. That's an okay thing to do. Like, it's almost worse to have that awareness and go, yeah, I'll do that. But yep. Did you see his apology where he apologized for being, he was trying to be irreverent, yeah. Which dictionary definition is being disrespectful in a joking manner. So he says, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I was just trying to be irreverent. You weren't disrespectful. You were just trying to be disrespectful. I don't understand, sir.
No. 2020, the year that can just go away. It really is how it is. And you know why it can go away, guys? We've had two drafts in 2020 that didn't pan out for us. Red Wings get sabotaged, and oh wait, Pistons. I believe it was Russ that put it out there. Pistons haven't had the first overall pick since 1970. Since 1970. Our parents were in middle school the last time they had the first overall pick. Now, obviously, in that span, we've seen two of the greatest teams of the last 50 years be assembled without that first overall pick. Closest we've come, in my opinion, is number two overall, and we took Darko. So, yep. That might be why. The league might just be looking and going, this is what happens when we give them the two. Imagine what they do with the one. We can't let them have nice things. But, I mean, we saw the Bad Boys be assembled. We saw the Going to Work Pistons be assembled. You've heard a lot about them over the years because I'm paid to mention Ben Wallace's name once a show, and Russ is paid once a show to continue to lie to you about why Ben Wallace shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. So
no lies, just numbers, baby.
No lies, just numbers. Pistons get the number 7 overall pick. This is a weak draft to begin with. If you're not picking in the top three, you're kind of, I said it, on a tweet, you're pretty much just throwing a dart at a dartboard and seeing what you get. It's like a carnival where you hit a color, you win a prize. You don't know what that prize is going to be. You just got to hit the color. So I want to ask you guys, one, Russ, little hard to hold faith in the draft lottery anymore, knowing that we've almost been mathematically eliminated before they even do the math.
Well, I guess I'll say it. I don't have a ton of faith in the draft lottery to begin with,
yeah.
Because A, I think the system's flawed, but B, I understand the numbers. Mm-hmm. 7 was statistically the most likely place that the Pistons were going to end up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That sucks. And it's dumb, right? But that's the way it was designed. So I was just hoping for top 6 because that would have been a nice change. Like, since the Darko pick, the highest they picked was 7, and they took Greg Monroe.
Okay.
Right? Like, was hoping for something a little better than that. No, we got 7 again. So it is what it is, and it just stop hoping for lotteries, I guess. We'll see. I don't know. It's frustrating. Hopefully, because this is such a weak draft and scouting's going to be all kinds of messed up, hopefully enough teams mess up. I mean, and they're in the bottom of the draft for a reason, so there's a decent chance. I'm just bummed the Knicks pick after the Pistons, because that was a for sure mess up on the way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you've listened to the show long enough, you know me at least, I believe the draft lottery just needs to go away. For everything the NFL does wrong, and oh boy, do they do a lot of things wrong. The one thing they do seem to get right is this tank for the first pick. It works. It seems to work because 9 times out of 10, teams that pick with that first overall pick within a couple years are at least quasi-competitive again. They may not be winning titles left and right, but they're quasi-competitive. Now, if you're the Oakland Raiders, you pick first a lot, and it doesn't really change anything. If you're the
Jamarcus.
If you're the Cincinnati Bengals or the Detroit Lions, you pick early a lot, and it doesn't really change anything. But most of these teams can turn it around. Jay, I'm asking you, because you're the commissioner of this, if the draft lottery went away, do you see it as an immediate benefit for leagues, or do we just need to kind of keep tinkering with the broken system, hoping that we can maybe, I just took my car to the mechanic, we can patch it enough to make it run a little bit longer.
I like the reference, very spot on to today. The answer is immediately yes. If you move away from this lottery, I'm picking up a ping pong that's heavily weighted so the Rangers get first overall pick,
yeah.
like, you're moving away from something that is just statistical in nature. I'd rather just be the reverse. Like, you are the shittiest team in the league. Whether that's a year pattern or a multiple year pattern that you've been on, good. Get the best player. Go get your Tua, become better, and try again. See if you can float in and get into the playoffs. I've got no problem with it. I prefer it that way. Even in our fantasy league, we do it at random. I'd rather do reverse snake. And if you want to tank, go ahead. Try to be a mastermind. Get that first overall pick, and you better have the people around it to make that player better. So I'm all for that.
By the way, you notice how hard it was, Russ, for him to say Tua. He wanted Tua so bad.
It
was painful. He was just like, go get yourself up. Tua! He just had to get it out, get the pain out of the way.
Random name. Random player.
Random name. All right, well, we're here. This is what we have. Unfortunately, until they can fix it, this is what we're stuck with. We're stuck with seven. Jay, I'm going to let you go first here because it sounds like you did some serious deep diving. Jay is our new resident NBA expert. He is all about it. He is he's loving every minute of NBA basketball right now. I need him to stop watching because I'm pretty sure the second he started watching, my Portland Trailblazers just started going downhill fast. Very fast.
That was actually, as soon as I tweeted at Colin Coward, they haven't won a single game. Yeah. So I might need to, like, delete the tweet. Maybe that's what's happening.
You need to apologize to Colin Coward right now.
Don't you dare.
Life choices need to be made here, Jay. Dame Lillard needs a title.
It's not worth it.
But
Lillard's out, so yeah. That shit's already done.
Yeah, but I want to ask you, looking ahead, when this draft does finally happen, we make these selections, what direction do we want to see the Detroit Pistons go to get us back and headed the way we need to be to contend for titles?
The direction that I think he might fall to us, based, like, I've done very limited reading, and I remember, boobs are fun. Remember, this is me. This is the NBA. I've done very limited reading, but the guy I want to see fall to us is also, he shares the same name as my dog, and that guy is Obi Toppin. I want Obi Toppin to fall down. That's the guy that's behind me. I know none of you guys can see it, but these guys can. He's got the size to defend, and he could dunk, and he's shooting damn near 40% from the three. He's a beast of a man. He is, like, one of the top 10 guys that actually look like a fully realized man. Like, he doesn't look like a kid out of college. He looks like a man. He's got the blocks. He's got the rebounds. I want him just from the pure standpoint that he's a well-rounded player. He's not the guy that needs to control the ball. He's going to be like almost like the Ben Wallace-ish player who's focusing on defense, but he still has a shot. And it might actually sink in more than Ben Wallace has actually did. So I'm gearing for Obi Toppin. What a lot of people are saying we're going to get, and I phonetically had to write down how to say his name. I'm terrible with names. And Onyeka Okongwu is the guy that is being projected. Yeah, I got that Onyeka right.
I knew who you were talking about.
He's strong on D. He's not a big control guy with the ball. So I want them to go defensive-minded. And just to echo kind of what you were saying, Eric, and Russ, too, from last week's episode, everything else I've read on players is raw talent, but fill in the thing that they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of those raw butt players. So I want Toppin or I want Onyeka, one of the two. And I did just say raw butt.
There's a lot of those raw butt
lot of those raw butts out there, especially after Jay's had a night on the town. All right, so Jay threw out a couple names, and I'm not going to lie, those are both really good. They're pieces that would fill a need immediately. Do you concur, Russ? Is there someone else you're eyeballing for this pick?
So I will say I don't concur.
Okay.
Obi Toppin would be all right.
Yeah.
Like, you need a big that can shoot, right? And he'd have a chance to learn behind Blake for a little bit. Okongwu is, he's Ben Wallace, is essentially who he is. He's a defensively minded, small center who struggles to shoot, right? 250 from three, 720 from the charity stripe. That's not great for shooting, but he's very strong defensively. Wouldn't be upset if they took Obi Toppin. We'll say it that way. But the two guys I'm going after, Killian Hayes, Tyrese Haliburton, one of them is all I need. I would prefer Haliburton because he's a better shooter. Killian Hayes seems to have a little bit higher ceiling. He's a year and a half younger too, so maybe there's even more potential we know a little bit less about him because he's been playing overseas, which is another point in Tyrese Halliburton's favor. You know, we've seen him at Iowa State. He's a better passer. Seems a little more well-rounded. But you need a point guard, and you've got the luxury of Derrick Rose at least starting there, so this kid doesn't have to be thrown to the Wolves immediately. But still the chance to very much develop and be a spotlight type of player. You're not going anywhere without a premier ball handler. And Blake's kind of filling in on that when Derrick Rose isn't on the court or is hurt. Neither of them are going to be here in 2 years, at least to an effective degree. So you need a ball handler. And I think Killian Hayes and Halliburton are the best two that we've got a shot at seven. Could both of them be gone at seven? There's a chance. I've seen mocks that are like that. But I've also seen mocks where both are available at seven. So I don't know. It's going to be a high upside, high risky pick, literally wherever you go from 2 to 10.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll at least take a shot at that. If this guy pans out, you've got exactly the type of player that you need in this NBA.
I agree. I'm going to show you two something. Because I just want to hear the reactions. I don't want to. No one could see you but me. Obi Toppin's a great choice. He's one of the guys I would be looking at. But I went, as you guys were talking, I kind of scrolled through the roster. I wanted to make sure I had everything right where it needed to be. Derrick Rose, yes, is there. We know Derrick Rose is a game by game, year by year player. He's got two knees that equate to about a 90-year-old man. Brandon Knight, we've had him before. We know what we're getting out of him. Not a lot. So if you guys can follow me here, there's a ball handler that needs to be on this team. I think we need to take.
Oh, what's up, Cassius, my man? What's
Cassius talking? Winston. Start of last season, I had him as the number one point guard in the NBA draft, if the draft had happened right then. He was on a Michigan State team that, Jay, I think you'll support me in this, wasn't really fully there right now. They needed some things. They needed to work out some stuff. He was the best player on a team that was kind of in rotation. A lot of his teammates he had been so successful with had moved on and gone to the NBA. Cash decided to stick it out for that final year. By Michigan State standards, didn't really have the year everybody expected. I would take Cassius Winston. I know the last point guard the Detroit Pistons drafted out of Michigan State was Mateen Cleaves, and we all saw where that went. I see Cassius Winston as the kind of guy that you can put in, and you can start installing pieces around him. It sounds like you're building around him. You're not really building around him. You're just finding pieces that will build that offense, and he's a ball handler, can get it, can get the play going, can make things happen, is still capable of scoring, and can play defense. Look, this team, yes, this team needs to find its LeBron, its Giannis. You're not going to find it in this draft with the 7th pick. You're not going to find it in this draft with the 1st or 2nd pick, in my opinion. Once Wiseman is off the board, I always blank on his name. The guard out of Georgia, Anthony Edwards. I knew it's Anthony. I always want to say something else, though.
Look at Jay knew it.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards, great player. Neither of those guys are falling to 7. If they do, the 6 teams in front of us need to have their GMs and head coaches and scouting staff fired. I'm sure Ball's going to have some kind of impact in this NBA. I just don't think he's a first overall NBA-ready point guard. So I knock him out of there. There are other guys that can play point guard. I've seen Cassius. Believe me, Russ and I have seen a lot of Cassius Winston over the last couple years playing against U of M. He's a great point guard. And at 7, it sounds like a reach, but really, if you're getting a quality point guard that's going to be in this league for a long time and help contribute to this team, I'm fine with it. If this was a stacked draft where almost everybody in the top 10 was getting an amazing first-round talent, I'd feel a little different, but I don't think we're getting that. Like I said, I think you just have to take the best player available for you and deal with the reach. So I would take Cassius. You guys have both remained pretty calm during this. It's a little discouraging. Russ has a big
grin. Taking it in.
Yeah, Russ has a big grin on his face, so I'm going to hand it over to him.
Like I said, the last time the Pistons picked this high, they got Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
and that was probably a stronger draft. There's a really strong chance that no matter who they pick, they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully, right? Like, so yeah, if you take a big swing, I'm okay with it. Like last year, right, when they took Sekou at 15, I just wanted them to take a big swing. Because if you miss, most 15 overall picks, they miss, right? You're lucky if he's the sixth man off the bench. It kind of gets pushed up the draft here, where you're like outside of the top five, it's like, take big swings.
Yeah.
Because not a lot is going to hit out of this draft. So I do think it's a reach. I think, hey, maybe you look at trading back maybe to 18 with Dallas, who's got picks 18 and 31. Maybe you can grab those two.
Yeah.
And then pick up Winston with one of those picks, even if you have to get him at 18, and then you have another pick because, hey, the Pistons don't have a second-round pick. But we got a new GM, right? Yep. Troy Weaver. If he comes in and says, Cassius is my guy, I'm going to give him a chance
because
he found guys before.
All right, since you have it in front of you, I don't have it in front of me right now. From 7 to 18.
Yep.
Read them off real quick.
Okay. The teams?
Yeah, like who's drafting between 7 and 18? Obviously, Pistons 7.
Yeah. Knicks at 8, Wizards at 9, Suns at 10, Spurs 11, Kings 12, Pelicans 13, Boston at 14, Magic at 15, Portland 16, Minnesota 17, Dallas 18. So Boston has 14, 26, and 30.
Yeah. I was just more, I was more just thinking, does, and this is weird to say, does Cassius survive 9 picks is more, or like, I'm sorry, 11 picks. Does he survive that long going through that? And there are a couple teams that I think you could make an argument need a point guard, but a lot of those teams, no, they really, they can, you can kind of say they're set at the point guard right now for them. The Knicks, you never know who the Knicks are going to pick, unfortunately. So yeah, I mean, if a trade is available there, I'm all for it, especially if it gives us another first round pick. Again, not a very strong draft class, so maybe you take a big swing at, you know, at 31 too, and it ends up being for your benefit. I would be fine with a trade, but at the same time, like you said, if Weaver looks at us after his press conference, they go, Cassius Winston was 7. What's the thought there? He goes, this is our guy. We've looked at him. We see what he can do. We think what we're trying to build fits. This guy found Russell Westbrook, James Harden. He was assistant coach with Carmelo Anthony. This guy has been around talented players. Yes, I just called Russell Westbrook a talented player. He's an asshole. He's an idiot. He can still play basketball. Carmelo Anthony, yeah, he doesn't play great defense, but Carmelo Anthony can score at will unless he's on the Portland Trailblazers, in which case he just fizzes. So I'm going to trust him, Jay. I'm going to trust Weaver if Cassius Winston gets there.
I'm not mad at that. Even if we traded from 7 to 9, like if you just found your first buyer that will give you a second round draft pick, it's better than just taking Winston at 7. So I'm not mad about that at all. I didn't know we didn't have a second round draft pick, so I think we had the same situation last year too. So let's just double up our pick, get a guy that we want, and see if we're ever going to go back to work.
Unfortunately, that's the other thing. I really wish they would just, instead of saying first and second round, just say what it is. Restocking the G League, because 9 times out of 10, the second round, you don't see a lot of guys. This isn't like, that's the thing. That's why the NFL draft has to be, obviously they're bigger rosters, but once you get to the 4th, 5th round, after that, you're really just addressing practice squad needs and maybe finding a diamond in the rough. It's very rare that it happens. So that second round, not having one doesn't really hurt us that bad, because it's okay. Just one less guy for, you know, for them to think about that they don't really need to think about. It's how I feel about it. I mean, if you could find a gem there, or if someone really falls, great, go for it. But I just, for me, it's more of, that's like a second round pick that you're probably never going to, he's probably not going to play on the Pistons for the next couple years, if at all. He may end up just kind of being like minor league trade talent.
I'm learning a lot about my future fiance, which is the NBA.
So. Yeah, Jay loves himself from NBA right now. Absolutely loves it. Is there any other rules you've learned in like the last couple of weeks that you need explained that you didn't know about? Because Justin didn't know that you can't stand for more than 3 seconds in the paint without getting out of the paint.
Yeah, I learned not to tank for Joel Embiid and company, then just get swept by the Celtics. Probably not a good move, so maybe we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I don't know if you guys saw it. I mean, I haven't read anything about him since. I hope Tobias Harris is okay and can remember his name. That guy's head bounced off the court like a basketball. It really did. Jay, if you haven't seen it, you have to watch. He was, like, in the air, and, it, like, his head bounced out of the game.
Like Tobias Harris, again, a footnote in some other news headline, Tobias Harris?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
A former Piston.
While his best friend Boban is loving time in Dallas with Luka, just raining on people. Luka Doncic, first person or third person to go for 40, 15, and 10. The other two people, Oscar Robertson and Charles Barkley. It's kind of impressive.
Okay, I guess.
Kind of good. You're in with good names. Put it that way. All right, as we continue, last couple weeks, we've been trying to track the NHL playoffs as best we can. All I know is that if I had to put money down on the bracket I put together, I would be taking out a loan right now. So, Russ, last like you have done in the last couple weeks, let's give it to us. Update us on where we're at.
So, as a pod, we went 3-5 in the first round.
Not great.
Not great. We got Colorado, we got Philly, we got Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. I have our individual records if we would like to shame or praise each other.
We don't need to know.
I'll leave it with Justin stood alone taking the Islanders and the Bruins.
Okay.
Proved the other two wrong. And I stood alone taking Vegas and Vancouver, proving myself right there. Everything else, at least two people were right for the things we got right. No, we got more wrong than that. So, 3-5 as a group. We're currently at Vegas, Vancouver. Vegas up 1, Colorado, Dallas. Dallas up 2.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, Boston. Boston up 1. Philly, New York. New York up 1. I guess I'll start with the team that we all picked to get eliminated in round 1, and now they're up on a team we picked to go to the Stanley Cup. Dallas. What?
Yeah. No. That was my what? What was the? Can't put it any better.
They average 2.6 goals for per game in the regular season. They're at 3.2 in the playoffs. Scoring's supposed to go down. You're not supposed to go more. Joe Pavelski had 14 goals in the regular season. He's got 7 in the playoffs so far. He's halfway to matching his 67 game total. Thanks for showing up, Joe. Where you been? This is a team that Denis Gurianov had 20 goals, led their entire team in goals. How? And now they cannot be stopped. Does anyone have any idea how? Why?
Yeah,
how here?
Jamie Benn is making Colorado go down on him is what's going on right now.
There.
Ridiculous. No, Jay, you had your finger.
I want to hear
what you have to say.
So on a not so serious note, the Dallas Stars got to go to a soccer arena and kick some balls around, and I think they all realized we don't want to play this sport ever. And then number two, Tyler Seguin is notorious for hooking up with a lot of people. You can't really do that in the bubble. So I think you've got a lot of testosterone. You have a fear of not wanting to play another sport other than hockey. No, they're just scoring. Jim Nill creates a monster in Dallas. They're getting the goaltending they're needing. They're getting goals out of their ass, which I don't understand why. I would have picked, if I did a bracket on NHL, I would have picked Colorado to sweep Dallas. And now they still have to take him to at least 6 or 7 games. It's unbelievable. So, I was looking forward to like Colorado having a nice break, and Dallas is they're doing it. Somehow they're doing it, but they better cool off. They better cool off right about now.
So would you say Jamie Benn is scoring because he's not scoring? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
What I'm going to tell you is that when life gets busy and you've got a lot of shit to do, you tend to do shit a lot more productive when you don't have that much downtime. So I can appreciate the lack of sexual happenings and the output of getting shit done, and Dallas is just getting shit done. Ain't getting laid. Dallas is scoring goals.
I would like to put a little roadblock to you, Jay. I get the sexual frustration. Tiger Woods won 15 fucking majors, and he was banging a girl every night.
He's an anomaly.
And 6 of the 7 weren't his wife. So I would like to...
That's that's problematic.
That's problematic. But so the sexual tension, I don't know if it really makes a difference, because Tiger was doing it every night and still managed to keep the drive alive. It wasn't until after that the burner phone went away that he started struggling a little bit, Russ.
I got 2 points on that. One, we're getting dangerously close to Millbury women or distraction territory here. So be careful.
I'm not going down that road.
No.
Two, there's a 0% chance that everyone in the NHL is straight. There's a very real chance that somebody's still hooking up in that bubble. That could be
very
a whole
fair.
Other pure energy that's leading them out here. I'm just saying.
No, you know, that is fair, and that is my bad. That is very fair. But I have a solution to this. And Pornhub did this in the beginning of the quarantine. They should sponsor something with these bubbles to then just put everyone on an even playing field. That's all I'm saying. Give out some free accounts or something. Because there's some cooking happening with Dallas right now, and I do not like it. They're scoring way too many damn goals.
Yeah, that's all we need
I have
is a Pornhub bubble.
It might just be a little karmic payback for Tyler Seguin actually stepping up and being a part of the whole Black Lives movement. That he actually was like, yeah, I was a shitty person. Let me learn. Now they're performing. But then again, it's not really Seguin leading them. So I don't know. I have no explanation for this team. They're missing Ben Bishop. Khudobin gives us at least one gift per game of just outrage at the rest of his team. And they keep winning. I don't know.
It is a absolute enigma. I agree with Jay. I think if we had gone a little deeper and you had actually said, give us how the series are going to end, like, you know, 4-3, 4-0, whatever, I think I would have been right with you, Jay. I would have been 4-1 or 4-0 Colorado. They were just too good. So, yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't understand what's happening in Dallas.
No.
No one does.
No, I guess maybe Jay can help us out with this one, because he is the only one of us that picked New York to get this far. They're up 1-0 on Philly. Is this Islanders team the 2017 Senators, with Matthew Barzal doing his best Erik Karlsson impersonation, where they're like kind of a defensive team that gets plucky and they'll get a single overtime goal away from making it to the Stanley Cup Finals and then be dog shit? They're kind of set up to be that way. Is this just a perfect storm?
I'm not mad at that at all. I want to pump Trotz's tires as much as I can, but I'm not mad at that analogy, or that the comparison, rather, because that's kind of what they are. And, like, that's where I expect them. Like, I don't expect them to win the Cup. I expect them to get as far as they can, and then they just disappear. And, you know, hopefully Barry Trotz doesn't get another GM or a head coach fired, because he's 2-for-2 right now. I got Florida's head coach or Florida's GM gone, and then he just got the head coach for Washington done. So if they do exactly what Ottawa did, they're going to probably view it as a disappointment still, kind of like Ottawa did for them, because they were so damn close with something that miraculously got put together.
I see this more as the Flyers just kind of needing something to recharge, because I think that the Flyers are a much better hockey team. I the Islanders are great. Trotz knows, but guess what? The thing Trotz knows is sitting in Russia right now with the rest of his family, because he's not playing hockey. So Trotz knows doesn't really have anything anymore. Like, he doesn't have the insider scouting on the Philadelphia Flyers. I think this is just going to be a matter of Flyers need a period where they just can go off and it'll get everything sparked again. And I don't know that the Islanders will be able to keep pace with them after that.
I think that my gut says that that's right,
yeah.
That the Flyers still have time to pull this off. Justin seemed to have been the only one with the pulse on the Islanders in the last round, so I was hoping he'd give us some insight. The other ones, Vegas-Vancouver, we kind of know what's going on there. Vegas is a good team. Vegas is up. Tampa Bay-Boston, super interesting because, well, Tuca's gone. Tampa Bay survived. And are finally in the second round just to get shit kicked by Pasta and this Boston team, who is somehow limping around and getting pieces back here and there. What was interesting to me is we didn't really get this rap on their series against Carolina too much, but I guess my question to you is, who really was punished more? Boston losing Tuca Carolina losing Svechnikov? And if they're both there, does the series look any different? Mm-mm. No, you still think it's a quick out for Carolina, even though the best forward is gone?
I said it when we were making these picks. I said that I think the way we talked about Chicago's door starting to close when it came to Taze and Kane, that they still had the talent, but that door was definitely a lot closer to closing than it was to being open, fully open. I said that I think Boston's is closing much quicker, but I think you could also make the argument Pasta, Bergeron, those guys, they've been together so long, they've been so successful together that all it's going to take is them hitting stride at the exact moment, and I don't know a lot of NHL teams playing right now that could stop them. And I just think Carolina, love Carolina, they're a fun team to watch. I just don't think they're on the same level. If all gears are firing at the same time, the edge goes to Boston. And right now, the gears look like they're firing pretty damn well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree and take it a step further. You know, losing Svechnikov, he's speed, man. He is speed on that team. That sucks losing him. But even when Boston loses either a goalie or a Pasta, David Backes resurrects his career and starts getting points in the playoffs like he always does. Like, and Charlie Coyle, McAvoy, all these guys just start showing up. And I don't think, you know, Carolina would have had that depth to replace that speed of Svechnikov. So I think it still would happen the way that it did. And for whatever reason, Boston's just next man up all the time. And they always have depth and they always show up in the playoffs. Like they save it. Like, they're load managing without us telling them.
And also,
load managing, he says.
That's the reason I think that you asked if both are there, does it change the outcome? And I say it's because obviously, Svechnikov adds some offense. Tuukka gives you defense. And when Boston's scoring, you kind of need that person that's going to shut the door. And I think Tuukka shuts that door even harder for them. And I just think Carolina, they don't equal the same thing. So it's hard to say they could stay on the same level that way.
Right. Well, of course they don't equal the same thing. That's why I asked the question.
Wait, but that's what I mean. Like, I'm saying, like, in inserting those two, I just think, if anything, if you said take Tuukka out and add Svechnikov, the difference is a little, the outcome is probably different. But adding the one extra piece they need that kind of cancels out Svechnikov is more what I'm trying to say. I guess offense doesn't equal defense. I understand that.
So where did they trade Rask after they win the Stanley Cup this year? And Boston runs them out of town. Because they've been waiting for a reason. Let's be honest.
They need a reason.
I know. I'll take them.
Yeah, I was going to say, Detroit is a lovely place to be if you're interested, Tuukka.
Yeah. Can he go back to Toronto, where he was originally drafted, and just have Toronto way overpay for him?
Sure.
And then
watching Kyle Dubas
2 years later?
Watching Kyle Dubas and Shanahan F up? Yeah, I'd probably take that than have him in my nut.
You do what you got to do. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay. I think that gives us a nice wrap here. We got more games, obviously, to come. No series really settled, although Dallas is knocking on the door of throwing out a knockout punch here.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting what we have here. We're still alive. All of our Stanley Cup picks are still technically alive.
All right, I asked this question last week. I'm going to ask it again this week. Anybody want to make a change? With Colorado looking how they are in Dallas, does anybody want to make a change?
I am more fearful of Vancouver, and shame on me for discrediting the crap out of them. Pettersson is on a whole nother level right now, and you've got goalie controversy with Fleury and Leonard, and Fleury taking a backseat, but his agent putting out some weird stab me in the back, Peter Boyer, or whatever the coach's name
DeBoer.
Is over there. Or DeBoer. I don't know. Vegas seems like a team of destiny, but, like, what the hell is Vancouver doing? Like, that makes me want to switch. I'm going to switch. I don't even know what we did. I'm going to take Vancouver and implement them right into what we're doing, at least in my world.
So are you leaving Colorado with Dallas?
Yeah, I have all faith in the Avs, but if I had to take anything out, I would make a strong push for putting Vancouver into the mix over Vegas and having Vegas be done for the year.
Okay, so Colorado-Vancouver Western Conference Final, according to Justin.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'm switching.
I learned my lesson betting against Vegas. So,
so do most people.
Yeah. So as much
I think
as
you learned your lesson betting for Chicago.
Yeah, that might be it. I like Vancouver. I told Jay up until a certain play, which will be mentioned in a few minutes. I had a one timer by Vancouver as my play of the week. I'm blanking on his name. Justin knew who it was. Starts with a B.
Bo Horvat?
First name, last name.
For last name starts with a B.
Brock Bester.
Brock Bester. One-timer to run Bennington. That was my play of the week. But, yeah, no, I can't. I'm sorry, Jay. I want to be with you. I like some young talent on Vancouver, but this is the Cinderella Vegas Knights of a few years ago. I'm not betting against them. I already made that mistake.
I'm going to stay put with my picks, too. Vancouver, I picked them to go the first round, but let's not forget that Jordan Binnington, the carriage turned back into a pumpkin, right? Like, dude was garbage. Like, yeah. Who could have known a mediocre AHL goalie would go back to being a mediocre AHL goalie, right? He was done. Vancouver took advantage of it. Vegas will clean him up. But that goalie controversy, that unrest is a little concerning.
Definitely. Oh, it definitely is. All right, well, we'll see how everything unfolds. Jay made a little curveball. We'll see how it changes in a week. Should be interesting. Moving on, we are now in the – it's a weird middle ground because we're doing the FedEx Cup. We're covering that. So we're not going to have week-to-week pairings. It's just kind of pick a couple players and let's see how they do. I hope everybody's okay. Everybody's still alive. Okay? No one – Webb Simpson – is number 3 now in the FedEx Cup standings. Very nice.
Oh, wrong way.
Yeah. Colin Morikawa is now 5, so he fell down a couple spots as well. Kevin Kisner, 23. Tony Finau, 29. Matt Wolf, 33. And Adam Scott, 38. So everybody's in, but I have to give a couple disclaimers. If I'm not mistaken, Matt Wolf is Jay, and Adam Scott is Russ. If those two do not make the cut this week, they are gone. It's
dun,
top.
Dun, dun.
Well, it's top 30 next week.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to make the cut. And to be honest, though, I'm not going to lie. Right now, it's looking like Morikawa, Simpson, and Kisner, maybe even Kisner, are the only ones that are safe. Because you got to think, if they don't make the cut, they should still have enough points to stay above people. But you have 70 guys this week that if a lot of those low guys make the cut and get that 1,500 points, they're right back in the mix. I mean, it is pretty insane. So I want to ask you guys, if I'm going to take the 30 restriction off. Doesn't have to be the top 30 anymore. Does anybody want to stick with who they've got? Because I'd like to point out, this might be the first time since we started predicting golf that Russ didn't pick Dustin Johnson. And Dustin Johnson went on and won last week. So
-50.
He went on and won decidingly, shooting the second lowest in PGA Tour history for 4 days. The record all time is 30. And if I'm not mistaken, Dustin Johnson shot 29 under for 4 days. So Ernie Els shot 30 under years ago. Dustin Johnson, 29 under par.
Ridiculous.
He's honestly, if he plays that way, he's the best player on the planet because he can just do everything. So I'm going to ask you guys, Webb Simpson, our top pick, the only one who's really in any kind of danger of being out next week is Jay. Russ and I both mathematically have a player that will be there next week. They don't really even have to play this week if they don't want to. I don't know why you wouldn't, but so I'm going to ask, and I'll let Jay go first because Jay's actually got a choice to make here. Tony Finau, Matt Wolf, both great picks. Both are top of their class in the talent they have. But I'm asking you, do you want to make a change knowing, and this is the knowing, if you take the change, you can't have those players again. So if Finau goes out and wins this week, you don't get Finau back. He's completely off the list for you for the rest of this tournament.
So I'm going to drop Finau. I'm going to keep Wolf.
Wow, okay.
I'm going to drop Finau. I mean, we're talking about, what is this, 100 and some odd points, like 130 point difference. I'm going to keep Wolf, the Wolf Pack. I'm a Wolf Pack guy. We're staying with him. Finau is out, and I'm going to load up. I'm going to, just because DJ did what he just did, and I've been shitting on this guy most of the time recently, I'm going to pick Rory.
Oh.
I'm going to grab Rory. I'm going to upgrade my worst to my favorite. I'm going to take Rory and Wolf. And if DJ can win one because he's been slacking all, Rory's just due for one next. So give me Rory. Maybe he can catapult up there.
Okay. I like it.
Sorry, Tony.
Little change. All right, so I got to do this because I've been keeping tabs. We are going to put a star next to Rory. We're going to say bye-bye to Wolf.
No, don't do that.
I'm sorry, not Wolf. Finau. Got to find Finau.
Finau was Finau.
Bye-bye now to Finau. Rory McIlroy. Oh, I got to wait till tomorrow when they actually start the tournament. So I'll remember that. Rory in, and Finau out. Okay. Russ, over to you. Are you sticking with Webb? Or are you sticking with Adam Scott?
So I'm dancing with the one who brought me. I'm sticking with both of them.
Yeah.
Mainly because the longer they stay alive, the more it makes me giggle because I picked Adam Scott because of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
So let's not mince words here. It does hurt a little bit to hear that, you know, Johnson, if he had just, you know, squeezed out one more stroke there, he would have really had something. And who hasn't, you know, had their Johnson just be one stroke away from something satisfying to be let down? I mean, it's relatable. Which is all the more reason to stick with the guys I had and not switch over.
All right. That's fine. I like it. And I like how he's just off the cuff here, people. Didn't know any of this ahead of time.
One.
He was ready for it.
I literally felt that one.
Yeah. Was it in your eye, maybe by chance?
Continue.
I am going to make a change, and this is going to seem weird. I am going to take Kisner out, and I'm going to go for someone two spots lower than him. I am going to pick Cameron Champ. This guy is one of the longest hitters on tour, has won multiple times on tour, and this guy is a young talent out there. I just think as we go along, you're going to see these young guys start climbing up, and the people that aren't necessarily always in contention start falling down a little bit. It's one thing to have a big week, but you have to have four big weeks in a row to win this thing, and I just think Kisner had a great week last week. He's not really reliable to go back-to-back weeks like that. I hope I eat my words. I hope the guy wins this week, but I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm going to change Kevin Kisner for Cameron Champ. Russ.
How much did it weigh in your decision that his last name is, in fact, Champ, and you're looking for a winner?
It didn't weigh that much at all, actually. I don't think that way. I just see the talent on the course and go from that. I would have picked him if his name was literally Shankopotamus. It would have been okay with me.
You
got to take Shank. Well, Shank is not
a
word.
Mentally tough person.
Shank is not a name you want in this game. Like, I'm waiting for the day a guy names his kid Duff Shankner, and that'll actually be the worst golfer on the planet. Because those are two things, when put together, just don't happen. But I like how you're thinking, though. You know, that positive reinforcement of what's my name, Champ. What's my name, Champ? That kind of thing. I really like that. I see where you're going with it. So
do you think someone makes fun of him, like, you're a loser? He's like, I'm a champ. I'm a champ. I was born a champ.
I'm always going to be a champ.
My father was a champ. My grandfather was a champ.
I love it. All right, moving on. We have play of the week this week. We've got quite a few interesting ones. You'll notice we stuck to the diamond quite a bit. So I'm going to lead off because I have a feeling we label them funny play of the week. This play isn't funny, but I'm going to use the minute to kind of promote it. This is my play of the week, and here's my funny play of the week, and this is what it sounds like, and then I'll give you my reasoning.
Weber scooped the puck into the corner. Niskanen battles with Gallagher, who's trying to get the puck loose for Drouin. There's another. Came back and cleared the puck.
There's another battle. Yeah. Niskanen just ran Gallagher over. Gallagher's having another conversation coming up the ice.
And he got a stick in the face.
Letting Kyle Raymond know he should have had another call.
I'm using my moment to say, and in the age of technology, you refs are kind of becoming obsolete. We can pretty much, you know, ref the game without having a single referee on the ice. We can do it well with cameras. So a call like that that you didn't make, you clearly missed, is something you can't do. The dude took a freaking stick to the face, was spitting teeth, and there's no call anywhere. He skates back to the bench. The blood is pouring out. You can see it. These are moments where eventually technology is going to replace you. Making calls like that delays that a little bit, in my opinion. So I'm using it as, it's not a funny play, but it's a play that in our 2020 year of Corona, it's a play that just shows how this year is going. You're going to take it to the face, and it's not going to be fun, is what I see.
You can't drop that like that. That's not fair. I'm not mature enough for that statement.
You're going to what now?
Exactly. My real play of the week sounded a little something like this. Absolutely epic. It's only been done 3 times in the NBA, so it's clearly a pretty big thing.
Finney Smith to inbound. Back to Doncic. Doncic pulls up. Three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer! Let's go!
I had to keep that in. Cool, calm, collective. Inbounds the ball with 3.7 seconds to go. Man in his face. Gives him the step back. Drains the three. Luka Doncic, right now, best young player in the league. Put him up against anyone. This guy just knows how to play this game. Absolutely amazing. Jay, I have to give a little credit to Jay. Jay's the one that pointed it out. I went and watched the replay because I was driving into work when it happened. Amazing play. Never thought a hockey fan was going to give me the basketball play of the week. But you know what, Jay? Love it. That's my plays of the week. Moving on, we'll let Jay go now. Jay, what do you got, man?
Would you still like to tell the kind audience how Detroit is the footnote in that moment as well, too? Who was the guy covering Doncic?
Who was the guy covering Doncic? That's a good question. I don't know.
Played for us recently. We got rid of him.
Oh, it was Reggie Jackson. Yeah, it was Reggie Jackson. That's right. I forgot all about that. Yeah, it was Reggie Jackson. Yeah, Detroit. Detroit's everywhere. The pain is everywhere, my friend. The pain is everywhere. But hey,
we're a part of nothing and everything at the same time.
Listen, though, you have a play. You have a play this week that puts Detroit back in the winner's circle, though. Why don't you tell us a little bit?
Isak Paredes had a beautiful first home run, and I did pronounce his name right too as well. I'm on one today. Grand Slam. First home run ever in his career in the MLB. It's pure power, and he better be the pure future for us. And that ball coming off the bat sounded like this.
Only one out, and the bases remain loaded.
Whoa! Smoke to left. Way back! Grand slam! Yes! For the rookie, Isak Paredes!
That'll boy!
He'll never forget that one.
That's his first major league home run.
Isak Paredes smoked it to left. His first career major league homer, and he does it in style.
Glorious. You got to give credit where credit's due. He's a rookie. He didn't. I really enjoyed it.
Great play.
Going over to my funny play of the week, I kind of broke the rules like Eric did as well. I'm picking Todd Reirden being let go as the Capitals head coach as my funny kind of annoying play of the week.
Wait. I object to this line of questioning. You literally do nothing but praise the previous coach, but you're upset that the new guy lost his job?
I am. I'm going to tell you why. This guy literally, from 2014 on, he's been climbing the ladder to become a head coach, right?
Yeah.
So he was the, you know, the Luke Skywalker Padawan to Barry Trotz when Trotz was there.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his first chance at it, and he wins the cup, right? First time as a head coach, he wins the cup. No,
Trotz got them the cup and then left.
I'm sorry. My note is the fact that he was on the team when they won the cup in 17 and 18.
Gotcha.
He gets his chance in 18 and 19 once Trotz leaves. He finishes first in the league in points still, which is still a product of the prior team, right? But then gets bounced in the first round by the Canes. And then this year, in a bubble year, out of all crazy years where you can maybe just go, we'll try that again, he gets punted out after 4 years of learning the job 2 years on the job, and he gets canned, and he lost to his prior mentor. So it's kind of like Star Wars-esque, if you want to put it into that terms. Todd Reirden did nothing wrong but his own job, and he's gone. And I think it's bullshit, and it's kind of funny, but it's bullshit, because Todd Reirden should still be the coach. Because now, guess who they're thinking of hiring? Oh, wait, let's be another footnote again. Babcock.
Oh, that'd
I thought that guy was blackballed from the league. Okay, well,
he might be, but do you think Ovechkin's going to deal with that?
That would be bad. Oh no, I don't think Ovechkin will kill him or have his associates do it. They'll never find Mike Babcock if he messes with Ovi. But Jay, that's the thing. It's kind of the way of the league. I mean, you look at Elvin Gentry for the Pelicans. They're just now finally putting pieces on that team that could potentially lead to them having some real success in the West. What do they do after 1 year with Zion? Say bye-bye to the only NBA coach he's had. So it's kind of that, it's that thing, man. You're not guaranteed tomorrow, even if that tomorrow looks to be a lot better than what you previously had. And I agree with you. That first year after a coach leaves, none of that is you. That is the team that he left in place, unless some massive thing happens. Unless Ovi retires, Carlson goes somewhere, Holtby decides he doesn't want to play anymore, then maybe it's you. But if all those pieces that just won a title are still there, you're still riding the former coach's coattails, in my opinion. So you got to see a little bit out of him that first year, technically this year.
Yeah, I just hate the fact that they got rid of their coach because they didn't want to pay Trot, and their replacement piece is now gone.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're an idiot.
Absolutely. All right, well, those are Jay's plays of the week. We're moving on to Russ. You're going to wrap this one up for us, man.
All right, I'll start with my funny one. The result wasn't funny, but the frustration is probably what caused maybe the funniest thing I've seen in the last week. Andrei Vasilevsky decided Matt Grzelcyk was a little too close to his crease. Loose puck came by in a 3-1 game, wrapped his arms around his leg, picked him up on his shoulder, casually tossed him over his shoulder like you would someone in the pool, dumps him behind the net. You're not getting that puck, bud. it was absolutely beautiful. A little disappointed he didn't then flop on top of him for the pin, right? That's poor form. You got to get all the points. But it was fun, and it was a move that would have made Patrick Waugh smile if there was a little more testicular abuse involved.
All right, I like it. I like it. On to your actual play of the week. What are you putting up against Jay's Tiger Grand Slam and Luca's buzzer beater?
I will see your single Grand Slam by Paredes and raise you 4 Grand Slams by the Padres. I'd like to think the Paredes pretty much got his because the baseball god said, oh, Paredes, that's close to Padres. You can have one too. Sure, why not? But the Padres become the first team to hit Grand Slams in 4 consecutive games. They went and then hit another one on Sunday to do 5 and 6. Slam Diego, here we come. It was special. Tatis, Myers, Machado, Hosmer. I assume you got the sound for one of them. Let's hear the beauty.
In the air to right field, towards the corner, it's back, it's gone! Welcome to Slam Diego!
Welcome to Slam Diego. I love it. Amazing.
And they changed their Twitter handle right after that call to the Slam Diego Padres. Just beautiful.
Good for them.
Oh, that was great. All right, well, those are our plays of the week. Those are what we have to offer for this week. Obviously, the Twitter poll and all that will be up next week. I have to say, I didn't see the actual final results, but if I'm not mistaken, keeping Barry one out over winning a Super Bowl, or did our voters decide to toss Barry out and chasing that ring? I'm almost positive we all agree, or the voters agreed to keep Barry.
Vamped for about five. Oh, there we go. Okay, so they actually 61% put Barry on a ship. Says, goodbye, bring us our championship.
Ah, all right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the other two we posted, 60% said they would rather the healthy Franzen over Hossa.
Yep.
And 57% said that they would rather the Lions make the Super Bowl and have the largest deficit in a Super Bowl loss over just, you know, keeping going as we are.
You know what I got out of that? We're just suckers for torture here in Detroit.
Yep.
That's all we are.
Yep.
Suckers 100%. For torture. All right, well, that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Really excited for next couple days. Good friend of ours, Luke, is marrying his fiancée, soon-to-be wife, Noelle. Going to get a chance to be in the same room, 6 feet apart, with these guys for the next couple days. So should be a good time. Can't wait for it. But before we go, I got to say thanks to Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus.
Hey, I'm always here giving you the latest and greatest NBA news hot off the press.
Attaboy. Statman Russ Ivanek, you keep doing it. I don't know how you do it. It might just be that you're smarter than us, but you make us sound a lot smarter than we really are.
It is nothing compared to the task of Justin and his evolution into a basketball fan. When he said he had 10 different players he looked at for the pick, my heart sang.
Oh.
I'm so proud. And I'm so happy to be here.
Any other draft, Jay saying he's got 10 players, I can buy into. NBA, this is new for us. So it really is like almost like Justin's daughter going to school for the first time. Our baby boy is growing up and walking for the first time. He's saying dada for the first time. It is that thing for us with Jay's discovery in the NBA, and I could not be happier about it. As always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.